Influencers, men's ministry.
Lord, shine your light on me. Lord, shine your light on me. You're the Heavenly Father. You're the King of Kings. So Lord, shine your light on me.
See, your challenge and mine is not to know the truth, it's to do the truth, to remember who we are, who we belong to, and why we're here. We're in a war, we're in a spiritual battle. Those of you who hadn't been around that long, that man, that song we sang, Band of Brothers, Sam wrote that song a number of years ago, and that's kind of our theme song. And when it's played, as you notice, we all get up and lock shields and remind ourselves we're a band of brothers. We're going through a series called Love Wins. And, you know, what God does is He doesn't just give you truth in revelation. He expects you to live by it and obey it. I'm going to a lunch the other day, and I'm over here at the Daily Grill, and they've got a small parking lot here, and then they got an underground parking lot and all that, and I figured, God's pretty good at giving me parking places. I'm going to go up and find me a parking place right in front. Because I was running a little bit late, and so I pull up there, and sure enough, I'm pulling right here, and right there backing out, coming towards me is a car. Tail lights on, the whole deal. Lord, thanks, man, this is great. Because He's done it again. Well, there's a right turn, and then there's cars coming from the other direction. So I was sitting there, and then I noticed this car come from the other direction. And they put their blinker on. I pulled up so they could see I'm here waiting. Well, this car pulls up, backs up toward that other car, and then pulls in front of me. And while he's pulling in front of me, the other car whips into the space. That reminded me of Fried Green Tomatoes, if you ever saw that movie. Kathy Bates is trying to do the same thing, and these two little girls in a Volkswagen Beetle, just, you know, early 20s kind of gals, get up, and they just look at her and laugh and go, "We're faster than you are." So she backs up and rams the car 2-3 times. And she says, "I got more insurance than you do." It's kind of like the guy that told me that time. He said, this typical guy thing. He was waiting on this parking place just like that. He was late for a really important meeting. And so he says, "God, if you'll just find me a parking place, I'll go to church." "Oh, never mind. I see one." Isn't that a guy thing? It really is. Well, you know, as I'm praying about this whole thing about love wins, it really does. Love, it's so foreign to our concept. It's so hard for us to get a grip on. You know, it's not hard to hear the truth. It's just hard to do the truth. Amen? Amen. Especially when it comes to things that attack our personal sense of justice and self. Things that are right and fair. We have a hard time finding out where the line is. Where you know, if I tell a couple, for instance, there are all kinds of lines and morals. And say, if I tell a couple, you guys are going to have to quit, you know, sleeping together. And they'll go, "Okay, we just needed some help." Well, what can we do? How far can we go? Well, isn't that what we always ask? Where's the line? I said, "Okay, here's the line. Don't do anything with each other sexually you wouldn't do in front of me and Susan." And so their face drops. Well, you know, you got to have a line somewhere. Might as well be perfect because your Father in heaven is perfect. But you know, it occurred to me when we were talking about love wins, it occurred to me that, you know, we're in a spiritual war. Everybody understand that? On that campus, when Ron goes onto that campus and you go into your marketplace, and you just walk out that door, you're going onto enemy territory. We're ambassadors. We have embassies here. We have a king. It's in another kingdom. We represent him here on planet Earth. That's a mindset and a concept and a self-image that we really need to have if we're going to be effective and fruitful and get the job done that Jesus Christ came to do when he died on a cross and saved a bunch of scalawags like us. And so we need to remember those things, and we need to remember that we're in a war. You know, in John 1, when John starts his gospel in John 1, 4, and 5, he says, "In him was life and the power to bestow life. And the light was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not understand it or overpower it or appropriate it or absorb it and is unreceptive to it." That's amplified version. Now, this is a judgment. That is, this is a cause of indictment. This is a test by which people are judged, the basis for the judgment. The light is coming to the world, and people love darkness rather than light, for their deeds were evil. See, there's the battle. Darkness and light, life and death, eternity with God, eternity apart from God in hell. It's a savage battle. It's a ruthless battle. It's an important battle. Souls are hanging in the balance. And we need to understand that we're engaged in a battle and in a war. And when you're engaged in war, it's kind of like Ron says, you know, if you guys want to get involved on campus and you're sitting there and going, well, okay, I don't know if I can do that or not. And then Ron says, I'll train you in how to do it. Then you go, okay, if he's going to train me, I'm in. I find that people, if they know that they're going to be trained and equipped, prepared, they're much more willing to be involved than if they're not going to be, and they're kind of thrown out there on their own, and survivors make good men. And so Jesus stepped into the light, and the light did not understand him. They didn't get him at all. Nobody really got him. Who would ever come up with a gospel the way that God came up with a gospel? Who would ever decide men are sinners and they need to be redeemed, and so here's the plan. They have to go and do a bunch of works. They have to give money, they have to go to church, they have to volunteer for service, they have to help people across the street. They got to do good things. I mean, that would make sense to all of us, and that's what religion is. But he came up with a different plan. I don't know if you noticed, but he's very different. He's uncommon, extraordinary. He's surprising. He can be discouraging and encouraging and complimentary all at the same time. And read the Sermon on the Mount and you get all that. Guys just didn't understand or get him. His own disciples didn't understand, but they hung in there with him. And even when they deserted him in the end, he restored them. He called them back. He didn't judge them. There was no condemnation. He understood they were weak. He understood Peter had a bravado that he couldn't back up when the chips were down. That when the rooster crows, and you know the rooster crows in your life and mine all the time. Peter, before the rooster crows at dawn, you're going to deny me at least three times. How many times have we denied the Lord and then we just went, because the rooster crowed? Well, that's just kind of human nature. It's two steps forward, one step back. We're struggling to be the men of God that God called us to be. The enemy's trying to get me and you nullified. He's trying to get us to compromise. He's trying to get us to be undisciplined, to be lazy. And because we're around a lot of people, like Isaiah said, I'm a man of unclean lips living among a people of unclean lips. I'm a lazy guy living among a bunch of lazy Christians who are under-challenged. And when they get challenged, if you want to be my disciple, you have to eat my flesh and drink my blood, or you can have no part with me. If you don't hate your mother and your father and your brother and your sister, or even your children, your own life, your wife and your own life, you cannot be my disciple. The guys walked away discouraged at that. He even went further. He didn't say that a Christian is a guy that does his duty. He goes beyond his duty. He didn't just do what he's supposed to do. He goes far beyond what he's supposed to do. If he forced you to go 1 mile, go farther. Volunteer willingly to go the second mile. The first mile, you did it out of duty, and no one's impressed. There's nothing uncommon about that. There's nothing surprising, nothing ordinary. But when you volunteer and go the second mile when you don't have to, now that's extraordinary. That's remarkable. That's unusual. And people take notice. See, your challenge and mine is not to know the truth. It's to do the truth, to remember who we are, who we belong to, and why we're here. We're in a war. We're in a spiritual battle. The enemy wants to take you out. You're a soldier. You're an ambassador. You're a laborer. You're all these things that the Scripture calls us. And all he wants to do is compromise you, compromise your testimony. He wants you to cause you to doubt your salvation. He wants you to compromise with pornography and drugs and cigarettes and cursing and all the stuff that dogs our step and creates shame in us. All the lustful thoughts, all the things that we do to cut corners in business. And he educates us down to the scruple. He cares about all of that. The fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Men keeping their hearts right with God, being quick to confess sin, running around with the right crowd, not the wrong crowd, watching the right stuff, not the wrong stuff, and the right stuff in what you read and what you listen to and how you spend your time and your money, how you order your calendar. See, those things matter to God. And they matter to us, too, if we're committed to His great commission and we're committed to being not common, ordinary, garden-variety Christian guys who aren't impacting anybody or anything, but being just the opposite. You want to be uncommon. You want to be extraordinary. You want to be unusual. You want to surprise people. You want to be noticed, not for what you've done, but who you are. What is your motive? Why are you doing this? Ron gets asked that on campuses all the time. When we had our free hugs today, people were going, who are you guys? I mean, we don't see people out here giving free hugs or costly hugs. Nobody's doing that kind of stuff. What's your deal? You don't have to work too hard. You have to get out of your comfort zone. God's going to push us out of the nest. God's going to ask us to think more about Him and His reputation than our own. I mean, that just goes with the territory. 1 Peter 2, 9 and 10, but you're a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Will you see the mission in that? See, I've chosen you guys, and you know what I did? I made you a royal priesthood, a holy nation. You belong to me. You're my nation. You're my priest. And everything you do is to reflect. You're an ambassador, and everything you do is to reflect my nature, my goodness, my holiness, my mercy, my grace, and my unconditional love. See, your greatest weapon. And this is what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13. He says, here's your greatest weapon. Yeah, there's hope, and yeah, there's faith, but the greatest of these is love. That's your greatest weapon in this battle. And you can use a lot of different weapons, and you can't use the world's weapons and beat the world with their own weapons. You just can't. We'll come home with our tail between our legs and bleeding from every wound, trying to beat the world with their weapons. Because you're fighting a spiritual battle that you can't win apart from the Holy Spirit. If you abide in me and my word abides in you, if you abide in me and my word abides in you, if you abide in me and my word abides in you. Say that 100 times. And then he says, you'll bear much fruit. And here's a warning. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Without my Holy Spirit in you, it's impossible to live the Christian life and to be agape lovers, to turn the other cheek, to go the second mile, to bless anybody, much less your enemies, to pray for anybody, much less your enemies. We don't even pray for our friends, much less pray for our enemies. If you're going to do that, you're going to need strong doses of the Holy Spirit. If you're going to do that, you're going to have to spend lots of time in God's presence. You're going to have to sign up for that journey group again if you need to. You're going to have to get with guys that are having their lives transformed because they're in proximity to Jesus Christ. They're abiding in Him. Is there anything about your life, for instance, that can only be explained by the supernatural? There's a lot of things we can do that are natural. There's a lot of good and ethical and upright and honest people out there, but they're not believers. And if it boils right down to it, they're just operating on a basis of reciprocal love. You love me, I'll love you. You do scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. If you don't treat me right, if you violate my rights, if you don't meet my expectations, we're going to have a problem. Every counselor is dealing with the same issue. But they don't have the same solution. If you go to a counselor who doesn't start with man is sinful, you can't get to the right answer. You can't give them a solution to their real problem. The real problem with mankind is that we're sinners. Jesus came to die on a cross because men were sinners and they need to be forgiven. And the first step for you and me, if we're going to get our problem solved, if you're ever going to come anywhere close to being a true Christian, if you want to define true Christian as an agape lover, with the best weapon you could ever have, the best weapon that will penetrate men's hearts, the best weapon that will get men's attention. It's so evangelistic. John 13:34-35. A new commandment I want to give you. Now, guys, you've got a lot of commandments. The Pharisees have 600 of them. Man-made laws. I just gave you 10. And you're choking on that. But let me give you a new commandment. This is new. This is a new concept. You never heard this before. But here's your new commandment. He gathered his disciples around himself. Guys just like us. He said, here's your weapon. Here's your assignment. A new commandment I give you. Here it is. Listen closely. Love one another. And you were thinking, boy, this is going to be, he's got a new AR-15 or something. I said, what is it? You know, we're going to have a new kind of exploding bomb or telepathy or something that's going to work. It's going to be cutting edge technology. And he comes up with love one another. And he qualifies it. And he says, even as I have loved you. Now here's your standard. You want a standard for what love looks like? Love each other the way I've loved you. Well, how did he love them? I mean, they were a bunch of bozos. I mean, they understood nothing. Jesus says, let's go to the other side of the lake. I'll meet you over there. They get in a storm. They think they're drowning. They're going to die. Even though Jesus said, we're going to the other side of the lake, they thought they were going to drown and die right there. And meanwhile, he's sleeping in the bow of the boat. Time to wake up Jesus. And they woke up Jesus, first thing he said. And it was gracious, I'm sure. Oh, you have little faith. I was good. I was having a pretty good dream there. I was back in heaven. And you guys woke me up because of this little storm here. Peace be still. See, when's the last time he said that to you in your storm? When's the last time you trusted God for a peace be still? I find that I was talking to a guy very stressed yesterday, very distressed. And I said, I got two verses for you. Jesus says, my peace I give to you, my peace I leave with you. It's not like the world gives, do I give to you. So don't let your heart be fearful and don't be troubled. He was just so fearful and troubled. It was a health issue. It was a marriage issue. Everything at the same time. Here's another one in Isaiah 6. He will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him. See, guys, these are the weapons of our warfare. When you love somebody and you turn the other cheek and you go the second mile, when you pray for that guy that does not wish you well, when you forgive quickly, when you've been offended, you've been backhanded across his face, you've been humiliated, that's very evangelistic. A new commandment I give you, love one another even as I have loved you. Why? Because by this, by doing this, by loving each other the way I loved you, giving each other grace, being quick to forgive each other, being patient with each other, patient when wrong, patient when misunderstood, patient when falsely accused, patience when neglected and forgotten, taken advantage of and cheated, and someone grabs your parking space. I tell you, and I knew right then, this is a test. He's checking me out. And I was that close. I may have flunked the test. I don't know. At least I was that close. Because I didn't really feel love toward that gal right there at the time. and I realize how far I have to go. I mean, I'm all in God unless someone steals my parking place. Then I'm offended and I'm hurt and angry. And you know what? I flunked because I didn't pray for her. I called fire down from heaven on her. Thankfully, Lord didn't answer the prayer. We're going to flunk some tests, guys. But stay in the battle, amen?
Amen.
We're going to flunk some tests. You're going to get angry. You're going to get upset. Now listen, here's the principle again about a man of God and how you know a man of God. And we can't say this enough. A man of God's not a man of God because he never gets angry and wants to call down fire out of heaven on somebody that stole their parking place. He's a man of God by how he responds. You know, I did the exact opposite thing one time. I'm in a parking lot right over here, not far from here. And here I am, and I'm driving, and here's a guy fixing to turn in. And I didn't actually see him, but when I did, I didn't stop. I hit the park, went in there. I saw this guy. He flipped me a sign. You'd probably know what it was. If I showed you, you'd probably understand. But I think you get the idea. And then he went and parked. And I went, crud. I've either ruined my day, his day, or both our days. So there's three of them. There's a father and two teenage sons. And so they're walking up to whatever store they're going into. So I went running up toward them and I said, hey. And man, they jumped back like I was fixing to. You never know these days, right? And I said, I just want you to know that I'm sorry I took your place. And I shouldn't have done that. And I want to ask you if you'd forgive me. And that guy was absolutely stunned. He didn't know what to say, and I didn't know what else to say. So I just said, have a good day, and I walked off. See, I messed up, but every now and then, I get it right. See, it's one thing to mess up. It's another thing to go back and make it right. Go make restitution. Say I'm sorry. Say I shouldn't have done that. That's uncommon. It's unusual. It's surprising. They'll wonder what your deal is. That's living the Christian life, and that's very evangelistic. By this, all men will know you're my disciple. Everybody's a disciple of somebody. I want them to know that I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ, and what's my greatest weapon? Loving you the way Jesus Christ, and you loving me the way Jesus Christ loved us. But you'll never know that love if you're not in his presence. If you haven't heard Jesus tell you, and I could tell you all day long, you know what, God loves you. But until you hear him say that, it's not going to impact or change your life. That's what I told you is theology. What he tells you is personal life-changing spiritual power. And that's what we need. That's what we have to have. And you're never going to get it reading books. Oh, he'll meet you in a book here and there, especially the Bible. And reading the Bible gets you in his presence. Reading other really good books gets you. I came to Christ reading Bobby Richardson's autobiography. God will use books. He'll meet you there, but you've got to go there. You've got to let love win. You've got to get yourself in a place of blessing. Thanks for being here today. I mean, I believe this is a place of blessing. You get around guys like this, and you're getting yourself in a place of blessing. The Holy Spirit's showing up, and I'm telling you right now, he's speaking to your heart. And probably during in the last few minutes, he's discouraged you, encouraged you, and complimented you all at the same time. He discouraged you because we keep getting faced with something that's impossible in our own power. And for some guys, they don't like the idea they can't do it themselves. He's encouraged you because he said, you can do it. He's even complimented us because he says, look, this is possible. He would not tell us to do something that we couldn't do, but it's always, and Scripture qualifies it always, in Christ, in Christ, in Christ, through the Holy Spirit, by the Holy Spirit. He never just says, go and love on somebody. He says, you can't love on them apart from me. It's me loving them through you. I love every cheater out there. I love every adulterer, every gay guy, every Republican, every Democrat, every independent. I don't separate my love from all that kind of stuff. I don't care where you're coming from or what you're doing. That's the reason I love that hugging on Santa Monica Pier. We were hugging everything that came. We didn't know where it, we didn't care. We didn't care their political persuasion. We didn't care their sexual orientation. We didn't care what color they were. We were just out there for Jesus Christ hugging folks. And that's what he did when he came. He just hugged folks. And I'm going to send you out today in his name to go hug folks. Hug them by doing good deeds. Hug them by serving them. Hug them by just saying a word of encouragement. Hug them by saying thank you. Be unique. Be different. Be uncommon. That's what he's called us to be. And when we follow him and love like he loved, it's a weapon that draws people to him. It's very evangelistic. And he wants to know, you in or out on that? He wants to know if you're going to be willing to die to yourself and give up your rights and hate your mother and your father, your brother and your sister, sell everything you got, give it to poor people, because short of this, guys, it's not going to work. A little bit of Jesus doesn't go a long way. You know, we talked about this before. You know, when you propose to your wife and you say, honey, I don't think I can live life. I don't want to live life without you. You're the perfect woman for me, and I'm going to love you, be faithful to you, be there for you 364 days a year. But I want to keep one day for the other women. And she's going to think you're Prince Charming, right? I got a feeling you won't be hearing wedding bells with that kind of proposal. But that's what we do with Jesus. You know, I'm kind of in here if it's not in my comfort zone. I'm kind of okay, absolutely to that. But then God just shows us. Shows us the rooster crows, and we just realize. Don't get discouraged when the rooster crows. It's like Ray Carrasco telling me when he saw me get angry over a golf shot. So you ain't good enough to get that angry. Well, that changed my life, Ray. Thank you, buddy. Well, when you sin, why are you surprised? And when sinners sin who don't know Jesus Christ, why are you surprised? Why do you hold a standard up for them that you can't even live yourself? Don't you get the log out of your eye, Jesus said, before you deal with the splinter in theirs. But right now, all you need to know today, are you willing to take that weapon God has given you and through the power of the Holy Spirit, go out, go home and love your wife. Get rid of your resentment bank. Be uncommon. Be extraordinary. Are you in or out?
Yeah.
I believe you are, and God knows you are, and he's going to help you do it. Amen?
Yeah.
Let's close in prayer and ask him to do that. Father, that's what we're doing. We're joining hands with brothers right now. And we're just saying to you, we're in. We're in not because we have the power to live this life, because we're crucified with Christ. So we no longer live, and Jesus Christ lives in us. Father, you've given us your love. Help us to love each other that way. Help us to love everybody that comes across our path. And when we don't, Lord, we'll take a step back. We'll take two steps forward in making it right and repenting and just getting up and living a good day with you. Forgive us for all the self-loathing, pity parties, negative self-image and thoughts. Forgive us for all that. Help us keep our minds stayed on you and stay in your peace and rest and live this life to your glory in Jesus' name. And all God's men said,
amen.
Give them heaven, guys.